Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the New York Yankees official podcast.
Like, everyone's fighting for a job at all the time, no matter what, but have some dogs in the pen, so like, it's going to be an exciting year. The drive is way stronger. I don't know if it's just getting older or if it's being with New York, but the passion is 10 times what it's been. Very first day, they just said, yeah, we really like that, so we just want to see how you throw it. They saw what I was working on was correlating to games and stuff, so they kind of just kept letting it ride. Even though last year was an expensive experience for all of us, this year, whenever there's that moment of struggle, it's going to be way easier to get through because we already dealt with something that was even worse last year.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the New York Yankees official podcast. I am John Schwartz. I'm the deputy editor for Yankees Magazine. Joining me across the desk, we have our executive editor, Nathan Makaborski. What's up, Nate?
How's it going, John?
It's going great, Nate. This is the season finale of the first season of the New York Yankees official podcast. It is the end of our seventh season podcasting together. Obviously, what that means is 2 weeks from today, opening day, we start a brand new season. We have a spectacular episode coming up that day. But first, let's close out our season with one of the back end guys in the bullpen, Ian Hamilton. Nate, I was down in Tampa last week, got to spend some time with a bunch of Yankees for upcoming episodes. And I think if you would have asked me a year ago, I would not have expected that Ian Hamilton would be a guy featured prominently on the New York Yankees official podcast, but he sure earned it.
He sure did. He was kind of an unknown quantity last spring, but went out and had a fantastic 2023 season. And so I'm excited to hear from him today.
It's a cool interview. I look forward to everyone hearing that. And then, Nate, why don't we come back on the other side, talk some spring training vibes, talk some stuff that we're working on, some stuff that we worked on, and, you know, talk about opening day a little bit. How's that sound?
Sounds fantastic. Let's go.
First, here is Ian Hamilton. Joining me right now in the Yankees podcast studio, we have reliever Ian Hamilton. Ian, how you doing?
Doing well.
Good. You know, I mean, I hope you don't take this the wrong way. I don't think you will. It's always a little interesting for me, like, you know, the guy at his second spring, in a sense. You know, last year, I'll be honest, when you first showed up with the team, we weren't thinking like, oh, here's a guy who's going to have a huge role on this team. It's always different. You come here the second year, you're a known quantity now. We know who Ian Hamilton is in a lot of ways. How different does that feel for you as you prepare for the season?
It's more just different having people, just like a little recognition, I guess. That's pretty much the only difference, because I still come in at no guaranteed jobs. Like, that's how I view it. So it's just still got to compete. So it's just nice having people know who you are now, I guess, but still gotta work. Still nobody, if that makes sense.
I don't know that I agree with that, but I hear what you're saying. No guaranteed jobs, like you say. I mean, it is as we sit here during the spring right now, it's a fierce competition, obviously, mm-hmm. in that bullpen. How exciting is that, in a sense? Because there's reasons for this sometimes, whatever, but there's certain things in spring training that's kind of rote. It's just guys getting in the work. And then there's obviously the battles mm-hmm. that go on. This is, you know, these aren't fake games for you guys, in a
right,
sense.
Right. Yeah. No, honestly, like, there's always job. Like, everyone's fighting for a job at all the time, no matter what. But once you get past that, like, you see what we're like building towards, especially just in the pen. And we have some dogs in the pen. So, like, it's going to be an exciting year for the pen, at least, you know?
So you, like I said, I mean, you showed up last year and just had a heck of a run there, really, and not just stat-wise, but you really just played a very big role where the team needed it. Everyone knows the story of the 2023 Yankees. There are so many injuries. There's so much bad luck that came along the way. Kind of anything that went well is like something worth celebrating, in a sense. Put yourself back where you were around March of 2023. What were your own personal expectations?
Last year, expectations were try to make the team, do whatever you can to make the team. And then like that didn't happen, obviously. So then had to kind of like double down and just kind of like bet on myself again. And then everything worked out. And I just kept wanting to prove that I wanted to be there and that trying to show that I deserved to be there type thing. But it's definitely different compared to this year.
Sure. I mean, look, like if you put yourself again back in March last year, you know, 15 big league appearances to your name. You more than doubled that last year. You're tripled it, essentially. What do you know about yourself now that maybe you were searching for a little bit last year?
Definitely a little bit more, like, self-belief, I guess. Belief in my abilities. This kind of, like, notched up just a little bit. Because before I had, like, all these stupid injuries and kind of had to rebuild everything in a sense. So last year was kind of like a glimpse of not necessarily like the old me, but just like a healthy version. So it's just kind of like, keep going with that.
Belief, obviously, you know, anyone who's been around Clark Schmidt, for example, knows that belief is not a small thing. Mm-hmm. It's a real weapon. How has that impacted you, having that belief as you sit here, as you, again, I mean, to go back to where I started in a sense, one of my favorite things about talking to guys at that second spring training, when you come off an off season where suddenly, again, no guarantee, I understand what you're going to say, no guaranteed jobs, but like, you went into this off season feeling like I'm a major league pitcher in a sense. I mean, you've never fully had that experience before, I would imagine.
True. Yeah. Like, when I was younger with the White Sox, like, I was on the 40 man, but it wasn't like, I don't know, it was like a younger, immature version. And then now it's just kind of like stay, and it's way more, 10 times more dedicated is what I noticed. And it's just like the drive is way stronger. I don't know if it's just getting older or if it's being with New York or whatever it is, but it's the drive and everything, like the passion is 10 times what it's been.
I have to think there's something also, and you can tell me I'm wrong here, and I certainly, by no means am I begrudging any other organization. I have to think for someone in your position, one thing that you get is a little more maybe contact with the coaching staff, with the trainers, everything like that. You know, they're probably much more interested, if you will, in you after year that you just had than maybe when you're a guy, like you said, on the 40-man roster, but on the margins. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, I mean, these guys, I'm sure, wanted to know what you had going on all offseason.
Yeah, honestly, this is the first organization that I've ever had this much communication with coaches, staff, just training staff. So it's definitely different. It feels like it makes it feel like serious.
Yeah.
Makes it just amplified just a little bit more.
But again, it's the big leagues. I mean, you know.
This is the big leagues.
Well, fair enough. You talk about the injuries, obviously. I mean, the unlucky injuries, all these things. I mean, you also had scary stuff. How do you think that changed you, in a sense, you know, going through what you went through? A
lot of rebuilding, because even some of the injuries didn't happen on the field, but going back on the field and throwing, thinking someone's going to come back and hit you, something like that, it's just kind of pitching scared. And it's that never works. Never a good option to do that. So going through all that, it just kind of made me had to change my mindset completely, because it was like, if I keep doing this, I'm going to work my way out of baseball. So it was like, I have to make a change. And then coming here, they kind of just said, do your thing. And just being with the Yankees gave me that much confidence to just keep going.
It's crazy, though, to me. And again, I'm not trying to make you relive horrible things. I apologize. But, like, you know, you could say it's a freak thing. It's not going to happen. But it did happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know it can happen.
Oh, yeah.
How do you train yourself to believe that you're cool out there?
Honestly, it's kind of just recognizing that could definitely happen again. And just kind of stay on your toes. It's like, stay on your toes. But it's just being ready and not taking, like, that second off. Because that's literally what happened. Literally took one split second. So it's just like, can't take the second, minute, hour, can't take it off.
You deliver that pitch and you're a fielder right away.
Yeah. Like, you gotta be in the moment as much as possible.
This is quite a pitching staff in a lot of ways. I mean, you know, both in terms of the new faces, guys that we're still getting to know, but also you're on a pitching staff with Gerrit Cole. I mean, and this is to take nothing away from the other guys here, but clearly one of the best pitchers of his generation, defending Cy Young Award winner. You guys are different guys in a sense. You guys have different roles, certainly. What can a pitcher in your position learn from being around Gerrit Cole?
How he goes about his reports, how he studies, how he talks and sees the game. You can just pick up on just little things that he talks about and does. And like, regardless, starting pitcher, reliever, like, you can definitely always take away from what the greats are doing if you're just around them. Like, you just pick up little things. And just be a sponge.
Just osmosis, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But the funny thing to me always is, and you know, he's been around here since 2020. You know, and look, I mean, he's been around here for some weird times. 2020, he was around here, but, you know, we certainly didn't see him. We weren't allowed anywhere near him. 2021, kind of the same thing. 2022, you have the lockout. Last year, he said, first real spring training, comfortable, whatever. But so the thing that I always notice about him is for someone who seems so serious on the mound, for someone who is just ramrod straight, kind of a little scary on the mound, he has one of the most engaging personalities of anyone I've been around. Mm. How helpful do you think that is for a guy like you coming in last year, for a guy, Clark Schmidt establishing himself as a starter last year, for any new guy who gets to see Gerrit Cole like that, not as just guy with a big plaque on his wall now, but just a funny, interesting guy on the road?
It's just like a glimpse that he's still like one of the guys and everything, and he's here to win, and he's here to help the team. All our big guys, they're just stand-up people, so it's completely different than anything I expected.
There's so much about baseball, and I think baseball success, that kind of comes down to simplifying things and making it a little bit less precious, maybe. You know, there's this idea that everyone's kind of pulling on the same rope, kind of doing the same things in a lot of ways. And then, you know, there's also the fact that you throw a pitch that kind of doesn't exist. Mm. how do you develop a slambio, and how did that come to be?
It was in high school, and I was just working on like a changeup type thing, and just throwing it just like a stationary target. So I was just repetition, probably threw, I don't know, like 100 of them in my backyard, and it was just seeing what it would do, and then just consistently started doing that. So then I just remembered the grip, and then just kept throwing it. There's at least two organizations who tried to just like, hey, why are you throwing this?
You're doing this wrong, right?
Yeah. And I said, what do you mean? So I was kind of like, you guys want to just make a cookie cutter pitch? And I was like, that it's the changeup, but it's just cutting. So why would I throw a whole new pitch that does something else when I can just keep throwing this? But you guys just don't like the metrics, or just because you can't show someone else how to throw it, you don't like it, stuff like that. So it was just kind of like, all right, are we here to win or not? And then come here, and there's like, we're here to win. So go throw that thing.
Well, it's successful, right? I mean, as you're mentioning, you need buy-in from your catcher. You need buy-in from your coaching staff. Like,
100%.
In a sense, like, trust me, like let's work with this. Let's not work against this. Let's work with this. Mm-hmm. How do you, as a new guy wants to fall in line, a new guy wants to, yes, sir, yeah, whatever. I mean, you know what I'm saying? How do you get through that? Like, let's work with this.
Well, it came from last year, even before I came to spring. Like, we talked a little about it. And then very first day, they just said, yeah, we really like that. So we just want to see how you throw it. They didn't even say we want to manipulate it or anything. And I told them like where I'm aiming. And then they saw what I was working on was correlating to games and stuff. So they kind of just kept letting it ride.
As we look at the 2024 season, obviously one of the great things about 2024 is that it means 2023 is over in a sense. 2023 wasn't great as far as Yankees are concerned. I kind of, as I was watching it happen, one of the benefits that I saw because of how unlucky the team was, because of all the crazy, stupid injuries, whatever, you have a lot of guys who are in camp with the Yankees right now who are going to be on the major league roster next year, or this year rather, who got experience last year that they probably wouldn't have gotten. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't help 2023 at all, but as you look to some of the things that you saw in 2023, what benefits do you see carrying over into a new year?
Getting experience at the major league level is the hardest thing to do without playing. You know, you can't get that experience anywhere. So even though last year was an expensive experience for all of us, this year, whenever there's that moment of struggle, it's going to be way easier to get through because we already dealt with something that was even worse last year. So it's like one small little hiccup, easy to get over. So especially having a semi-young team, it's just like, just keep going, like forget about it, keep moving forward.
Being a pitcher on the New York Yankees, there's a lot of great things that come with that. Mm. I imagine one of the better things is knowing that under no circumstances are you going to have to pitch to Aaron Judge or Juan Soto in a real game right now.
Right.
That must feel pretty good to watch them support you instead of the other way around.
100%. I think one of the first live at-bats I had this year was Rizzo, DJ, Giancarlo, and someone else. But I was just like,
have fun, man.
Yeah, I'm just like, thank you for letting me practice this and I have to do this in the game. But practicing against them is, you know, gets you ready for other hitters.
And I imagine you guys are pretty competitive when you're out there in those live BPs, right?
Oh, yeah,
mean,
definitely.
These guys are they're your teammates during the year. They're your opponents right then.
There's still like a line in live at bats. It's like toeing the line of like, oh, you're not my teammate type thing.
You're gonna rush him back, though.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like there's that line of like, oh, we can't, as a pitcher, like you can't just go full force in like live at bats, if that makes sense. So it's just like, all right, make some pitches and just make some pitches.
A couple weeks in to knowing that he's a teammate, what, like, as you've seen him, as you've, I don't know if you have faced him in alive or not, but what impresses you the most about a guy like Juan Soto? Because to me, from the outside, guys are supposed to have holes in their swings. and it just doesn't seem like there is one.
Seeing him in spring, it's dangerous, you know? It's just like, oh, don't count us out.
That's different.
Yeah, and it's just like, oppo shots, just, it's impressive. Obviously, I never watched him like this, so it's like, watching him just practice this, it's like, dang.
When you, as a reliever, obviously, look, I mean, your work is usually contained to an inning or two, something like this. Let's say you leave the game, seventh inning, close game, whatever, you did your job, great work. Are you a spectator? I mean, are you like kind of in your cool down mode and kind of not looking at the TV, or are you really engaged in what's going on down there in those late innings?
Oh, no, definitely engaged, especially, like, always engaged.
Yeah.
Always.
You know, like, if you're pitching more than three innings, something probably catastrophically wrong happened, or the game is in the 37th inning or something like that. Right. You know, but what is that? Like, when you get done, 10, 14 pitchers, whatever, and it's like, my job's done for the day.
Right.
Nice line of work in some way. Not to say you don't work your tail off, but, you know, it must be nice to just be able to go all out one inning, two inning, whatever, and then just know I did my job.
Yeah. When you get those days, it's great. Then go to the weight room, cool down, do whatever you got to do, get ready for hopefully a high five line at the end of the game for a win. But yeah, always locked in, always exciting to watch this team.
Counterpoint to that, obviously, you, late inning reliever, you pitch without a net, right? I mean, if anything goes wrong, if you're in a leveraged spot, mm-hmm. it's tough to recover from that. How do you not take that back with you? How do you not take that on the drive home, mm-hmm. the drive to the ballpark the next day? I mean, how do you just be like, over?
Honestly, just as long as you knew that you were going like your 100% effort right there, and you know you were throwing pitches with conviction, and then they got you, then you just kind of like brush that off. But you always take something away from those outings. But the healthier you can just get away from those thoughts, or just kind of separate from as soon as you step off the field to weight room, locker room, whatever it is, and your job's over, just got to realize like the next day is coming.
Yeah.
And you got to get ready for the next day.
I'll leave you with this. You know, you got that experience last year. You pitched, I think, 39 games, something like that. We didn't know much about you. Now we do.
Mm-hmm.
I know you want more than 39 games this year. I know you also want more than, you know, 82 wins. How excited are you to see this team healthy, knock on wood, to see this team operating the way it's supposed to?
It's very exciting. We're going to be a dangerous team this year, and it's going to be very exciting to watch.
Thank you so much, man. Ian Hamilton, thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir.
This is Juan Soto. You're listening to the New York Yankees official podcast.
Hi, this is Anthony Volpe. You're listening to the New York Yankees official podcast.
Welcome back. Nate, I don't know about you. I find it very fun when we get to talk to the huge guys. And we do. And coming up in the new season, we have plenty of the biggest names around the Yankees, guys you're looking forward to hearing from. But, you know, the reality is we know a lot about some of those biggest names. When we get to do an episode with Ian Hamilton, it's nice to know how little I knew going in there, how many questions I was asking him that I did not already know the answer to.
Yeah, you know, he's one of those guys that you root for once you learn a little bit more about him. You know, you alluded to the injury that he had back in 2019 when he was sitting in the dugout and got hit in the face with a foul ball and just right in the mouth, like knocked his teeth into the back of his throat. Just a gruesome injury that he had to come back from. And it's been a long road. You know, he's bounced around from a few different organizations, but found a landing place with the Yankees last year. And as we have seen with numerous relievers, the Yankees coaching staff, Matt Blake and everybody, they saw something special in this guy, and they were able to extract it. And, you know, I mean, it's not a stretch to say Ian Hamilton was one of the best relief pitchers in the American League last year.
Absolutely. And I love the way you said extract it, because one of the more interesting parts of our conversation, I thought, was this idea that for all the talk about the Yankees and analytics and all this stuff and all teams and analytics and this idea that pitching is just done by computers these days and analyzed by computers, the reality is the success, as he describes it, of Ian Hamilton is being allowed to be himself, being allowed to throw a pitch that doesn't really make sense, that didn't really exist, that along the way he wasn't forced to conform. And you know, look, there's a lot of things about life with the Yankees for some players that is about conformity, for better or worse. And I think that's, people know what I'm talking about. I mean, look at Alex Verdugo. You could see what I mean. And whatever, that's fine. But I think sometimes that idea of that gets so caught up in the public consciousness that you don't realize the importance and the ability that this staff has of extracting the best from people without forcing them into one specific box.
Yeah. You know, we've heard from numerous Yankees coaches over the years just about, you know, how important it is that they not try to make everybody fit into a box, you know, whether it's a hitter or a pitcher. It's about recognizing these guys' talents and nurturing them and giving them the confidence to grow their talents even further. And it's been done to great effect, particularly in the bullpen. Ian Hamilton, just one example of it. But I mean, from Clay Holmes to Jonathan Loaisiga, I mean, all these guys come to this team with one pitch or sometimes two. But, you know, it's something that the Yankees coaches recognize as potentially really effective and really special. And then when it works out, like it did for Ian Hamilton last year, it's just really, really special. I mean, this guy had never thrown more than, like, I think 8 innings in a big league season. And last year he threw 58.
He had 15 career games, and last year he threw 39, I believe. Yeah. So you can really see quite a jump.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's part of the fun of this time of year, spring training, watching these games and seeing these guys who are, you know, maybe not on the 40-man roster right now, or you don't know if they're going to start in the minor leagues or whatever. But, you know, you're looking for those kinds of guys, like who's going to be the next Ian Hamilton? Who's got that nasty pitch that can get big league hitters out consistently?
And you beat me to what I was going to say, which is there will be guys who do this year too. We don't know who they are yet. That's kind of the beauty right now. We know that there are going to be names that, you know, certainly next March, but I would say even, you know, by June or July, that we're trying to, like, go back through the media guide and try to figure out where this person came from, who he was. Again, you know, you were at spring training a little earlier than me, so there were still some more players there than there were even at, you know, as early as last week. There were already guys being sent back to minor league camp and some more empty lockers probably than you saw. But you look around that room and it's just like, which three of you guys are going to become a real big part of my life this year, in a sense.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the first day I was down there, Dennis Santana threw a live BP, and he was a guy that I wasn't familiar with, but have kind of kept an eye on here during spring. And Nick Birdie was another one. You know, Adonier Mosqueda was like a guy I walked in, and for whatever reason, that was like the first locker I saw. And I was like, huh, that's a name I don't know. And kind of a unique name. So that stood out to me. And he's also had a really nice spring. So, you know, who knows? We'll see. What we do know is that the 26 guys that break camp at the end of March, that's not going to be the same 26 that are here at the end of the year. You know, you always need arms. Guys come and go. So right now, these guys have a big opportunity in front of them to go out and try and impress the coaching staff every time that their name is called.
So it's funny. I hope this didn't come across too much in there. I hope it goes without saying. When I do these interviews, Nate, when you do these interviews, you know, it's a little different than when you just walk into the clubhouse and just get a guy for a story you're working on. I need to ask him two or three questions. You know, I usually prepare something in the neighborhood of 20 questions for an interview like this, really trying to figure out a narrative that I kind of want to, a path maybe that I want to walk down in some ways. Then obviously I'll see where the conversation goes, but I want to be ready for a lot of stuff. And, you know, I try to prepare a lot of different players, a lot of guys, because I don't know who I'm going to get in these situations when I'm down in Tampa for a week. And I had a bunch of guys ready, but when my first day there, I see Ian Hamilton and he was alone in his locker. And I asked him, hey, might you be willing sometime to come on the Yankees podcast? And I think he was a little nervous, but he said he wanted to talk to the PR people. And then he said, yeah, sure. So I tell myself, okay, I have not prepared a podcast interview for Ian Hamilton. Time to go do some research on him, whatever. And as like the clubhouse is about to close, he walks up to me and he says, are you ready now? And I mean, the absolute answer was no, I'm not ready now. Like, but I, you know, you don't say that. So it's like, sure, let's go to the podcast studio and let's do this. And
you pulled it off well, John. I got to say, I wouldn't have guessed that was completely just off the top of your head.
I was grateful to him. Yeah, he gave me a lot of stuff to work with because that was definitely the first one of these. Our season finale was the first one of these that I did totally cold. But the reason I bring this up is not to say, like, look at me, I'm so great on my feet. But rather, he's a guy who he just inspires curiosity with me. Again, I think a lot of it, what it comes down to is, if you want to talk about one of the best episodes of the season, I would go right to the first episode of the season, Garrett Cole. Garrett Cole's amazing. Garrett Cole's interesting, all this stuff. But I also know a lot of what Garrett Cole is going to say in these situations. I'm just trying to make a compelling podcast. I had no idea what the answers were going to be for me in Hamilton. I had no idea what he was going to say about a lot of this stuff. And I think that inspired just pure curiosity in me to keep the conversation going in that way.
Yeah, you know, the role of a middle reliever is one that, you know, they're not often the guys who are, you know, have the crowd of cameras and microphones around their locker after the games. You know, even if they did their job and did it well, he's not the starter. He's not the closer. He's not hitting home runs or whatever. So, you know, they could go for long stretches where we don't really hear too much from them. And so, you know, even for a guy like Ian Hamilton, like, sure, yeah, you know, we might have seen him a few times on the Yes Network, you know, doing pregame or postgame hits with Meredith Marakovic or whatever, but like, we don't really know the sound of his voice or what he's, you know, you can't predict Ian Hamilton's answers as well as you can some of these other guys that you hear from much more often. So it was interesting to hear from him and get to know him a little bit. And, you know, I'm hopeful that he can just continue to build on what was a fantastic year last year. He was so, I mean, obviously it was a down year for the Yankees, but there was a few bright spots in there, and he was one of them. I mean, just so versatile and so valuable, really was called upon to do a lot of different things and did them all really, really well.
And the reality, and I don't mean to be a downer when I say this, is relievers are volatile. You know, I mean, who knows if we've seen the kind of the entirety of the Ian Hamilton story at this point. I mean, there's no reason to say that we have, and there's, you know, it's certainly possible that we haven't, but it reminded me a little bit of last year, or yeah, it's not even last year anymore, it's 2 years ago now, when I did something with Lucas Litke, you know, a guy who had never really had the luxury in his life of being an established major league pitcher. And then suddenly he had a year where everything kind of went great for him. And, you know, the next year wasn't great for him. And the year after that wasn't great for him. But that different, that life-changing moment of going into an offseason, not to say you're not hungry, not to say you're not working, and not to say you're not still trying to earn everything, but just that change in your life of having a job, of having a role, of having a team that is constantly conscious of you, and that you're not, you know, just organizational depth or something like that who might get called up, but I know that he would say, and he's correct in saying this, there's no guaranteed jobs, all that, whatever. But any single prospective open day roster that you see, even now, 2 weeks out, Ian Hamilton's on it. You know, he's never had that experience in his life. That changes you. That's something that stays with you forever, in a sense, even if it's fleeting. However much that might not make sense.
No, 100%. And it's a real confidence boost. And, you know, we tend to think of these, you know, professional athletes as being, you know, uber confident, never that it's unshakable, but it's not the case. I mean, these guys, they need to be boosted up sometimes. And when you have an organization that believes in you and then you go out and you back it up, it does wonders. So yeah, I'm sure that this past off season was a lot more enjoyable for Ian Hamilton than some of his previous off seasons were. And like I said, I mean, hopefully he can keep it rolling, because if he has another season this year like he did last year, that confidence is only going to continue to grow. And, you know, who knows? Maybe he's a future closer down the line or something like that, you know?
And who does know? Nate, obviously, you were there a couple weeks ago. I was there last week. We were both there. Vibes in Yankees camp were exceptional. This has been a difficult week. I think every team has a difficult week at some point during spring training. Obviously, who knows? As we record this, who knows? This all could be forgotten about entirely, or it could be the story of the 2024 season. Who knows? But I know for me, there were fun things that I got to see out there. What about you? What's the thing, as we are now deep into opening day mode, but as you look back to your time in Tampa, what's something that stands out to you?
Well, you know, if anybody listened to last week's episode of the podcast, you heard my interview with Jose Trevino, and I always just have such a great time speaking with him. But really, I mean, you know, it's no secret that the catchers are often, you know, just wellsprings of information. Just, they've got their finger on the pulse of so many different things, you know, having to be in the cages with the hitters and having to be in the meeting rooms with the pitchers and being, you know, basically an extension of the coaching staff in a lot of ways. You know, we've been lucky to have a lot of really helpful and insightful catchers here in recent years. Guys like Austin Romine, Kyle Higashioka, and Jose Trevino certainly fits that mold. So getting to sit down with him for a while and just talk about everything from last year to his hopes for this year, I just found that to be, you know, one of the highlights of my trip. How about you, John? I feel like you got a bunch more interviews than I did when you were down there. So what stood out to you this year?
He again, I mean, it's weird to say this today, the vibes. It was just such a positive environment in a lot of ways. And I spoke to a bunch of people about this, and hunger is really, really evident in that room. Last year was frustrating. Last year was difficult. Last year was unlucky. All these different things. But I was talking to Carlos Rodon and I said, is this like a normal March 5th? And he said, no. Giancarlo Stanton really was telling me that just there's a hunger. And that's an easy thing to say in spring training. I'm guessing you hear that in every single spring training camp, but I am interested in seeing how that plays out. I mean, the reality is if the team starts off 5-1 or 6-1 on their first road trip, then they're a great team who had a great spring and, you know, all the vibes are perfect. And if they start off 1-5 on the first road trip, then it was all artificial and who cares, yada, yada, yada. And that's the same team and they can finish off with the same record. So, I mean, there's a lot of this that's fairly stupid, but there was that hunger, I thought. And then it's just, the typical spring training stuff, because the weird thing is I actually saw very little baseball while I was down there. I was so often in the podcast studio or trying to get someone to the podcast studio. I think I saw one batting practice. I saw a couple of innings of two different games, but that was it. But you heard it just now with Ian Hamilton interview and another thing. You'll hear it, you know, as the season goes on. Unknown relievers, man. I love talking to those guys because they got stories. And a couple of the new guys, Caleb Ferguson, Luke Weaver, he was here at the end of last year, but I spent a lot of time with him. You know, just interesting, funny. I feel like I'm a broken record when I say this. People ask me a lot of times what my favorite stories to write are. And very often, I think what the answer they're expecting to hear is, oh man, when I wrote a cover story on Gerrit Cole. And I always kind of feel like, and we've spoken about this, Nate, like if I didn't write that cover story on Gerrit Cole, someone else would have. And it might not have been that different. But when you talk to a minor leaguer, a career minor leaguer, a 30-year-old minor leaguer or whatever, who's coming up and getting a chance, or when you talk to a middle reliever, like I was just saying, I kind of have this sense sometimes that if I weren't telling the story right now, it might not get told. And that's a pretty rewarding feeling. And I get that more in spring training. And I get that when I do the minor league stories during the year. And it's just, it's such a joy. It's very cool to speak to Aaron Judge. Don't get me wrong. It's very cool to have a one-on-one conversation with Anthony Rizzo. But there's something to be said for a guy who there isn't a scrum around his locker.
Yeah, I agree. And that's one of the, you know, real privileges and real joys of writing for Yankees Magazine is we have
cover the middle relievers.
Yeah. In depth. Hundreds, sometimes thousands of words on them. But no, it's great that we have a readership, you know, Yankees fans who are interested to hear from these guys and to learn their backstories and, you know, to have the blessings of our editors in chief and our, you know, the higher ups here to have the reign to go ahead and dive into these stories. It's really great. It's really, you know, keeps every year fresh, keeps us coming back hungry for more, you know, opportunities like this. And it's a big part of why I'm so proud of these magazines.
For sure. So proud of these magazines. Also, as we close out year one of the New York Yankees official podcast, this has been a real lot of fun. You know, we moved our format over a little bit last year, really making it more focused on player interviews. And I think that the payoff was just tremendous for that. You know, I mentioned our premiere episode with Gerrit Cole, but I mean, there's just a bunch of them that really stand out to me. I'm so glad, again, whether it's having Everson Pereira on and having him be so excited that he's doing it in English, or getting to know Wandy Peralta a little better, getting to really kind of go deep with Anthony Volpe, which is not the easiest thing always to do, to get Giancarlo Stanton talking about 500 home runs and his frustrations at the past season. You know, it really, I think that what we are trying to do, and I hope we are succeeding, is opening the clubhouse a little bit and opening our notebooks a little bit and showing how this stuff happens and a little bit less crafted than the 2,000 word features we write, but really letting you hear from them and not from us. And I think it's a pretty special thing. And I think, you know, I'm grateful to all the players who agreed to do it. And I hope that we get even more this year. And, you know, it's not the worst part of a professional life to have to spend 20 to 25 minutes with a big league superstar.
No, definitely not. And, you know, now that we know how to work this fancy equipment, it makes it that much easier.
we're always getting better, though. I hope you don't listen to the Andy Pettit episode, which was a great interview that nothing has ever sounded worse than that one. I really wish he would have closed his windows in his car, but what can you do?
But yeah, I am excited for year two of the New York Yankees official podcast. I'm very excited that the next time we release one of these episodes, it's going to be opening day of the 2024 season. And I think it's going to be a great season here in the Bronx. There's so much to be optimistic about. Again, going back to like favorite memories of spring training this year. I mean, I hope you got to at least see Juan Soto take a couple of swings.
Barely. No, I barely did. I saw him swinging games more than I saw him swinging batting practice.
Oh, man.
It was a real bummer. Yeah. I kept missing it, and it was really unfortunate. But and I'm writing a little bit about this right now. But again, you go to vibes. It's like there's something that I keep going back to about 2023. Which is, and we spoke about this plenty of times, so much went wrong there. So much was unlucky there that you get this sense, and I think we all had this in October and November. I'm being hyperbolic, obviously, but forgive me. Tear it all down, start over, whatever. And then you get to spring training, and it's like, so you're telling me we go DJ LeMahieu, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Anthony Rizzo, Gleyber Torres, Giancarlo Stanton, Alex Verdugo, Austin Wells or Jose Trevino, Anthony Volpe. It's like, where's the hole?
Yeah.
And things are going to go. Don't get me. I know all the stuff. It's just like you watch that in spring training and you're just like,
it's a good looking lineup.
How do you get these guys out? It's good times.
It is. It is. And I just feel like, you know, the law of averages, like it can't go. Things can't go the way they went last year.
I don't know if there's enough wood in the world to knock on, but yeah. Please continue, Nate.
So, I mean, like you said, I mean, every camp is optimistic right now, but you just went down the lineup and yeah, feeling pretty good. Can't wait for April 5th against Toronto here in the Bronx.
I can't wait. April 5th against Toronto here in the Bronx, March 28th in Houston. Nate, until then, great talking to you. When we speak next, it'll be, well, not you and me. We're going to speak plenty this week, and we're going to be working plenty this week. But to our loyal listeners, when we speak to you next, it'll be the second season of the New York Yankees official podcast, and it will be the 2024 baseball season. Look forward to speaking to you then. Nate, have a good one.
Thanks, John.
Hi, this is Carlos Rodon. For more stories like these, be sure to pick up Yankees Magazine. You can get a copy the next time you're at the ballpark or by calling 800-GO-YANKS or visiting yankees.com/publications. Thanks for listening.
The New York Yankees official podcast is a production of the Yankees Magazine Podcast Network. It's produced by me, John Schwartz, with assistance from the entire team at Yankees Magazine, as well as incredible support from the New York Yankees Media Relations Department, in particular Jason Zillow, Michael Margolis, and Caitlin Brennan. Thanks also to our awesome social media team, Ryan Callahan, Julia Shore, and Alex King. If you're not subscribed, what are you waiting for? We're available wherever you listen to your podcasts or at yankees.com/podcasts. Leave us a review, leave us a rating. You can even send us your thoughts over email, podcasts@yankees.com. For more information about the stories we discussed today, visit yankees.com/magazine, where you can read all of our long-form content. If you'd like to subscribe to Yankees Magazine or purchase individual copies of the magazine, yearbook, media guide, or anything else, please visit yankees.com/publications or call us at 800-GO-YANKS. Of course, you can also stay up to date on everything happening here at the stadium by following us on Twitter @Yanks Magazine or by liking us on Facebook @Yankees Magazine. That's it. See you next time, and go Yanks.